Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.
Water levels down, water shaming way up. It's the Friday Mixer. As the severe drought continues in the state of California, the Water Authority here is now actively imposing fines upwards of $500 a pop on people who waste any of the wet stuff. Water tables are at historic lows. Groundwater is still mostly unregulated, although the legislature is trying to do something about that. And people are reporting their fellow residents and neighbors for any water malfeasance. Joe Matthews is California columnist for Zocalo Public Square, an ideas exchange that publishes every single day. He's with us right here in the studio. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Steve.
James Nash is L.A. Bureau reporter for Bloomberg, and he's joining us from the L.A. Bureau. Hi, James.
Good evening.
We know about the drought, you two, certainly, but there's been an exponential increase in the number of drought-shaming incidents of late. Neighbors taking pictures of wet pavement and daytime lawn watering and putting those pictures on Facebook. Our producer, Avishai, said he saw someone today watering in the middle of the day. I mean, people are really conscious of this, right?
Some people are. I mean, not everybody's wisened up yet. A lot of people's habits haven't changed. But you do have a minority of the population that's out there trying to catch people in the act and post things on social media. There's an app that wasn't developed specifically for drought shaming, but it's pretty much turned into that. So you do have at least a percentage of the community that's out there trying to play water cops, since there aren't that many real water cops.
By the way, I'm going to try and coin a new term called vigilaguas. That's what I call them, people who are drought shaming their neighbors. And it's sort of a Latino fair because we're in California. Vigilaguas, so we'll hashtag that for the mixer too. Joe,
you know,
Matthews.
The problem is there's no evidence that this kind of shaming really works. We had a piece this week at Zocalo from Gwyn Jones, who's an agricultural consultant in Australia, in Queensland, Australia, a place that really changed how it did water over a big, more than a decade-long drought that only recently ended in most of the country and is still in certain places. And this kind of stuff didn't really work in Australia. What worked was technology. You know, a lot of sort of changing of systems. There was some changing of behavior, but it seemed to work by making folks work at the local level, having each community, state do sort of different things. I mean, the problem in California is that we're sort of all on the common pool. We're, you know, they say water divides us, but actually it unites us. It's one of the few things we all share.
Yeah, but there's no water in the pool, Joe.
Right. Well, there's less than there was.
How can we be in the pool if
but
it's dry?
But when you share, you're going to have conflict. This is about sort of, you know, having water regionally and other sorts of things that, I mean, instead of shaming, we'd be much wiser to do something like have communities compete, you know, on water saving and give a prize to the winner. Shaming doesn't work. We've tried to shame people to vote in L.A. for a long time. That doesn't seem to work. Now we're talking about prizes.
Yeah, we're talking about a lottery for voting.
Exactly.
That's great. I wonder, though, Joe, because we are in a different realm, and I'll ask this of you too, James, the fact that we do have all of these ways by which to shame people, these, I'll say it again, vigilaguas who go on Instagram or on Twitter, and they're able to do that. Did they do that in Australia? Is that the part of the watershed? You couldn't do that 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Well, certainly their drought started in the mid-90s. That isn't what drove things. And I do think we're playing a little bit with fire. You know, this water shaming is so big. The messages are so clear. You know, my 3 and 5 year olds want to give hard times to neighbors when they see a little bit of water in their gutters.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit much. It's a recipe for conflict, and this is ultimately a situation which involves people cooperating and coming together. I don't think this is going to get you very far. It's not. Shame can be part of it, but not this kind of direct conflict that we seem to be inviting.
James Nash, does social media change the dynamic in this water shaming?
Not really. At least what I found, as Joe was saying, it's not that effective. It's interesting. It gives people a sense of feeling morally superior when they call out their neighbors. But what I've seen on these social media are grainy photos of people holding hoses or things that you can't really make out. So the person being shamed doesn't even know that they're being shamed necessarily. They're not on Twitter or Instagram or whatever looking for pictures of themselves washing off their driveways or whatever. The one business that was clearly identifiable that I went to was a bar in Pasadena that was running misters, you know, to keep the outside patio reasonably cool. And I stopped by the bar to ask the manager, what do you think of this? And he said, look, you know, the amount of water that's coming out through these misters is like the equivalent of washing one cup in our dishwasher. And it's not that big of an effect. And to this day, they're still using the misters. So the attempted shaming didn't work.
There's a lot of that that goes on in Palm Springs, too, right? In the desert, there are a lot of those misters, I know. And, you know, we've seen a lot of these, the ice bucket challenges. I mean, people are being shamed for this because it's, you know, whatever, a few gallons, 3-4 gallons of ice water that's being poured on people for the ALS Foundation.
Right, for Lou Gehrig's disease. But I guess that seems to be the thing of the summer. Everyone, you know, you showed on social media, there was backlash to it. Is this a good thing to do, or is it using water? Some people wanted to do without water.
Well, and there's not a drought in all, you know, other parts of the country. I mean, I know parts of the Southeast, they've gotten plenty of rain this year.
I don't know, Steve. I mean, I find the whole thing depressing. I mean, you know, it feels like half of America's you know, having ice dumped over itself, and yet it doesn't seem to have put any sense into us, has it?
Yeah, and in fact, on that note, you know, there's been this controversy over a water slide in downtown L.A., and that's another example of someone being shamed for something that they haven't done yet, but preemptively shamed maybe. But when you look at the amount of water that's actually being used by people dumping ice on their heads or even a water slide, it's not that much. It's really more symbolic. 80% of the water in California goes toward agriculture. So even if we as residents do our share, it's still not going to have as big of an effect of, you know, the ag users actually cutting back on their water, which they have to some extent, but they're still the majority of water in this state.
I thought this story out of San Francisco was pretty interesting. This retired teacher in San Ramon named Fran Paxson dug up her thirsty lawn in her subdivision, her neighborhood, and replaced her lawn with a more sustainable landscaping. She got a rebate, I think, from her utility for doing that. But her homeowners association slapped her with a $50 a month fine because they say it would reduce property values. For their part, they said they fined her because she didn't get board approval first before she dug up her lawn. Are we going to see more of this? This isn't shaming. This is like hitting you in the pocketbook.
There was a similar case in Glendora in the San Gabriel Valley. I think you'll see more and more conflict about this, and it's not good. It's certainly not healthy. It's not going to particularly get us anywhere. You know, if you want to get people's attention and really shock them, probably that's in the pocketbook. If we started charging more for water, you know, that seems to be something that changes people's behavior.
On my DWP bill, I mean, there are tiers of electricity that I use, right? And mostly, knock on wood, I'm in tier one. But sometimes, you know, if the air conditioning, it's been a hot summer in California, sometimes I pierce into tier two. I mean, would that solve the problem, James Nash?
It has to some extent. In Santa Cruz, they've been doing that, which that's a community that all their water comes from local sources. They don't get any of the State Water Project water, any of the Colorado River water. So they're in really dire straits. They're probably the largest city in the state that's really at risk of running out. And they've done that. And they found that it is effective, that, you know, each household is allotted a certain amount of water per month. And if you go above that, you pay basically an extortionistic kind of, it's a penalty in effect. You're not getting fined out of pocket necessarily for overuse of water. You're getting charged based on going over your allotment, and they found that that has reduced water use there. It's been over 20% in Santa Cruz. Contrast that to Southern California, where the State Water Resources Control Board actually found an increase in water use.
Yeah, in the month of May, I know that, which was just so surprising to me.
I've been convinced by Jay Famiglietti at UC Irvine, who's you know, spoken to us, written for us, on the point of it's probably time to do mandatory things now before the problem is worse. I mean, it's the hammer of actual enforcement and price that's gonna get us there, and not worry about, you know, slip and slides down Olive, which, you know, didn't understand the big thing about. I mean, Olive, who wants to go down Olive? If you had a slip and slide down Fig, that would be something.
Downtown L.A. I remember when I first moved to L.A., I think there was a bit of public shaming of Antonio Villaraigosa when he was mayor at his house. But he was watering his lawn on one of the off days. And one of the TV reporters was outside, you know, saying, this is the mayor's house. And I mean, that's going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, that's an example of drought shaming, I guess, before we even heard of that term. And It is. The symbolic stuff is important. The freeway signs, the social media, all that. It may be nipping around the edges of the problem, but the more people are aware of it, the more they change their own behaviors.
Vigil Agua. Remember that. We're going to hashtag that for them. Does that make any sense? Do you like Vigil Agua? No.
It's nice. It's nice. You know,
it's got a good personality, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It maybe breaks down a little in the third syllable, but work on it.
I try. James Nash from Bloomberg here at the LA Bureau. James, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Joe Matthews, California columnist for Zocalo Public Square and Ideas Exchange that publishes daily. Joe, thanks.
My pleasure.